Good afternoon. Welcome to the Northwest Broadcast Booth, the New Era Field in Orchard Park. The Bills and the Chicago Bears. We're getting ready for kickoff. Peterman gets rid of it quickly, bobbled and caught by Kroon, but he is surrounded by Bears and brought down. Now the ball comes out, and Chicago comes up with it. Going back the other way, Eddie Jackson at the 30, at the 20, 10-yard line, 5-yard line, and it's a touchdown, Chicago. Snap. Here comes pressure. Peterman tries to get rid of it quickly. The pass is tipped away. It is picked off. It is intercepted by the Bears. It is Leonard Floyd running into the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago. And the handoff goes to Howard. Jordan Howard breaking tackles. Breaks one at the five. Heads into the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago. The second of the game, Jordan Howard. This one from 18 yards out. From New Era Field, the Buffalo Bills come up short, way short. 41-9. The Bears beat the Bills today in Orchard Park. There you go. There's your highlight package. The game rewind presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. Steve, as they say in the movie Godfather, this is the life we have chosen.
It's too late now, man.
Too late to turn back.
We are neck deep in it.
We are here. We're here till 3. We're ready to talk with you about the Bills' horrible game yesterday. There's no other way around it. A horrible 41-9 loss to the Chicago Bears. And we got a couple of guests lined up and a lot of discussion coming up over the next 3 hours. Welcome to the show. Welcome home, Steve. You spent your weekend in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest. Saw a pretty good football game. The Chargers knock off Seattle in Seattle. That's a good win.
And it was a big win for the Chargers. They came in and they were telling us in the production meetings that they thought it was a really big test for them. And rightfully so. 12 AFC teams up until that point, the last 12 AFC teams that have been in that building came out with a loss. Russell Wilson was 12-0 against the AFC in that building. It's still a tough place to play. And the Chargers walked in and did exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to get the Seahawks down by at least 2 scores, and they did. They got them down by, I think, 9 points at halftime and tried to stack it on. Their kicker missed a field goal and 2 extra points. They'll probably get a new kicker. Caleb Sturgis will be probably out as the San Diego or the LA Chargers kicker, and they'll probably get a new guy. And they went through 4 kickers last year. How tough can it be to kick in LA?
In Los Angeles, I know.
So he's probably going to – I don't know if they'll fire the guy or not, but, you know, he missed 3 kicks yesterday, his fifth and sixth missed extra points on the season, missed a field goal, and instead of putting that game away early at a 30 to, it would have been 30 to 13, it was actually 25 to 10. Russell Wilson came back, scored a touchdown late, and gave him a chance. They had one last play to try and get a touchdown, and then a 2-point conversion to tie it, send it into overtime, and they missed the touchdown pass. So, the Chargers are for real. We're going to talk about them a little bit later when I give you my Bose sights and sounds of the game recap of that. But the Chargers are for real. That team that came in here in Week 2 and thumped the Bills is thumping a lot of football teams. So, and let me tell you, Phillip Rivers is really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Five straight wins for the Chargers. Meantime, closer to home, 4 straight losses for the Buffalo Bills. 3 straight brutal losses, really. I said to Steve a minute ago before we came on the air, you could spend the entire 3 hours here just recounting the futility of the Buffalo offense, the historic lows being set on a weekly basis now by the Buffalo offense. We won't do that. It doesn't serve any purpose. If you want to let us know what you've come across numbers-wise, we'll talk about that. Four straight losses, the last three particularly one-sided, Steve, which is really demoralizing, I think. You know, yesterday you weren't here for the game. You were out in Seattle. Beautiful day, sunny, blue skies, perfect temperature.
Big crowd,
great crowd, ready to go. They were noisy early on, caused at least 2 or 3 false starts early on in the game, the Buffalo crowd, ready to go. The defense came to play, and it all happened within like a 7 or 8 minute span of the second quarter where it just fell apart. And look, the offense wasn't making many plays, but they were hanging in there. Scoreless first quarter. One of the key plays, I think, and I've gone back to it a couple times on some of the earlier platforms we've been on since the game ended, but the Bills' late first quarter punt, they're deep in their own territory punt, and Logan Thomas goes out of bounds 2 steps to get Tariq Coleman, knocks him out of bounds, 15-yard unnecessary roughness, drive started at the 37, And they did it almost easily, the Bears did. They did convert a third and 15 with a 26-yard pass, which is unusual. You don't see that often against this Buffalo defense. And that started it. Within minutes, they had a couple of defensive touchdowns, and it was falling apart. Three straight turnovers for the Bills offense there in that short span of the second quarter. You look up at halftime, it was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter, 28-0 at halftime. And all hope is gone, you know. And I just, a couple of things. I can't get over that crowd. So enthusiastic, so loud, so ready to kind of forgive and forget coming into the game. And then it falls apart in that short time span in the second quarter.
Yeah.
God bless these fans. They are unbelievable.
They were better than the team was.
Oh, no question.
You know?
They have been all year.
They're better than the team. And they do deserve better, and I know the team believes that as well. I agree with you. When that the penalty happened on the punt, Logan, and the unnecessary roughness on their sideline when Logan Thomas hit the guy.
2 steps out of bounds.
It seems like the defense came out and lost a little heart. You know what I mean? Because it was a different defense that came out there, and even on a short field, they got caught a little flat-footed. They thought they're going to be in better shape than that, and it just wasn't good enough.
Look, they're not good. Their offense is so bad, and their offense is so challenged that just it looks like a simple thing. Oh, out of bounds hit. Okay. That kills you when you're as bad as the Buffalo offense is, and let alone the turnovers that they have. But one play, one out-of-bounds hit, one thoughtless out-of-bounds hit kills the Buffalo Bills because they can't do nothing offensively. They can't bounce back from a 14-0 deficit. They can't get 7 points a game. Their average score the last 3 weeks, 34-6. 34-6, the average score the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's hard to watch. And you know, too, that when the defense is put up again, I mean, listen, the offense gave up 14 direct points, two defensive touchdowns. One was a fumble away, and then the other one was a tipped interception for a pick six. That's 14, and the offense only scored 9. I mean, the defense got to be standing. You know, you're going over there. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, just don't give them anything. And once again, the Bills. Turned it over, and it led directly to points, and it's a hole that the Bills just can't dig out of. Their margin of error is just non-existent right now. They have to play absolutely perfect football, given the status of their offense, to even break even, and their defense has to continue to play lights out for them to have a chance in these games, and it's discouraging to watch. You know, you've seen them play good at times during the season, but as good as they can play at times, man, to sustain that level of play from this crew is a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask. And the defense is going to have to make some breaks. It's going to have to get some turnovers. And, I mean, you think about it. For the Bills to have won that turnover battle yesterday, they've had to get five turnovers. They would have had to get 4 more turnovers than they did. 4.
They got 1.
They had to get 4.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an enormous mountain for a defense to climb.
Turnover's a big problem. Penalties a big problem. 163 yards in penalties marched off against the Bills. I just talked about the one that bothered me the most, the out-of-bounds hit by Logan Thomas. But Phillip Gaines, couple of pass interference calls, pass interference calls, adding up to more than half of that total, 163 yards. And how about this? The Bears committed more penalties. The Bears had 14. It was not a classic game to watch. The Bears got 41 points and won a game despite the fact that they were outgained. The Bills completed 31 passes. Nathan Peterman completed 31 passes, and yet it was for a ridiculously low amount of yardage. Just a weird game statistically, and just an awful game for the Buffalo Bills. And we're here to talk to you about it. We've got a good guest lineup coming up. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, joins us at 1. We'll take a look ahead to the Jets with Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News coming up at 1:30. Fred Jackson joins us at 2, his regular Monday appearance. We'll talk about a variety of topics with Fred. But a lot of time for you to give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or reach out on Twitter at OneBillsLive. Let us know what you think about the game. We agonize, you, me, producer Jay Harris, trying to come up with a Twitter poll topic, a show topic. Look, what are we going to do? We've talked in recent weeks. What do you do about the offense? What's the biggest problem with the offense? What hope do you have for the offense? I don't know where to go anymore with that. Do you go anymore with that?
Yeah, I mean, we've hashed it around as much as we can, believe me, there's plenty of blame to go around, and it's interesting too. And you saw the statistics of the people watching MSG saw the statistics go up. It was a weird game. Trubisky's 12 for 20, and for 130 yards, one pick, one TD, and he wins by a landslide. It's unbelievable to see the statistics like that. Nate Peterman throws the three interceptions, but because of the types of interceptions they were, and we all saw them, that's one of the games where he finished the game. He didn't get sat down. That's the game he's finished, where he had three interceptions, where two of them got tipped up in the air and returned. I mean, it is the craziest thing ever, and none of it seemed to go in the Bills' favor.
No.
Not a single thing. And you make your own breaks. I get
yes.
it. I mean, there's nothing like that. And we're looking at the pass to Terrell Pryor, where he kind of catches it, has it. It's a 15, 20 yard pass down between the numbers and the hash, right down the middle of the field. Has it? Doesn't have it? Tips it up in the air. Interception going the other way. Then the Zay Jones tip on the 18 yard line. He reaches back and really wasn't a bad throw by Peterman. The defender jumped the route. He threw it behind Zay Jones, so we could kind of turn around and get it. He only gets one arm on it, tips it up in the air. That goes in for the touchdown. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but look, they're not. You're not arguing that they're victims here.
Shoot, no, they do their do to themselves.
They're not good on offense.
They're not
they
good
don't have
offensively.
Good players on offense.
The one pitch that you really give your tip your hat to the Bears is the one we just saw that on Kelvin Benjamin, where the cornerback undercuts his route and makes a nice grab off 2 inches off the ground, and he returns a little ways before he's tackled. So, it's. It's absolutely unbelievable how bad it has gone for the Bills' offense. A lot of it is just their fact they do it to themselves offensively. They're just not good enough. Their offensive line hasn't cleared any holes. LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory. Chris Ivory was taken off the field, and we have to keep an eye on his injury status. We don't need to lose anybody else to injury. And then you think, okay, well, you start looking ahead. What are they going to do this week against the Miami Dolphins?
Jets this week.
Or I'm sorry, the New York Jets this week. And you think, I wonder if Josh is going to play.
There's a lot on the table, and we don't have many answers about who's going to be
available. You got four quarterbacks
yet
on the roster: Matt Barkley, Peterman, Anderson, and Josh, because of the injuries that they've sustained. And what are they going to do at that spot? What's that? You figure Anderson will be healthy enough to get back out there. I don't know. Wow.
I don't know if he will be.
It is. I'm at a loss.
Well, that's
I'm at a total
to
loss. But what
yeah.
do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do at quarterback?
Well, there's
if they're all healthy.
Well, they're not going to all be healthy, right? I don't know that Josh Allen's going to be healthy. He's starting to throw a little bit. I'd be surprised if he was ready to play this week. Derek Anderson remains in concussion protocol. Maybe we get an update on that as the week goes along. You do have Nathan Peterman. Matt Barkley is just sort of a –
He's just a
guy
stop
at this
gap.
Point.
He was just kind of you're going to hope that he never had to finish a game. You really hope that he never has to see the field.
And look, this is where we should start talking about Peterman a little bit, I think. Even if Anderson is healthy and Josh – look, when Josh Allen is healthy, he's got to play, but he might not be this week. If Derek Anderson is out of concussion protocol ready to play this week, you know what? I'm going with Nathan Peterman. Just in terms of development, young quarterback, that was his fourth NFL start yesterday.
Right. What do you get when you start Derek Anderson?
Right. Where are you going with that? Nathan Peterman was okay yesterday. He wasn't good. We'll get a lot of action on Twitter on this even yesterday. People laughing. Oh, how do you like Nathan Peterman now? Well, I liked him better than Matt Barkley yesterday, and he's all they had. He did not play that well. He did not. The interceptions, they belong to him, but. You saw how they happen, just like his interceptions last year in Los Angeles against the Chargers. Not all his fault. Who cares? The interceptions are on his ledger. But more than interceptions from Peterman yesterday, it was whether it's Josh or the offensive approach or whatever, the failure to kind of attack deep, to try to get deep, to do anything but throw underneath the coverage to tight ends and running backs coming out of the backfield, that bothered me, Steve. I thought, come on, is Nathan not capable of something more than this? And it appeared from what they called and what they ran, they didn't believe that he was. And that bothers me a little bit. I thought Peterman was okay at best yesterday. Okay at best. He wasn't awful. The interceptions are on his record. No question about that. But it wasn't, if you're half paying attention, you can easily say, same old Nathan Peterman, three interceptions. Well, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, you're right. Let's face it. It was his best game. It was – you're right.
He
it
finished.
Was mediocre at best. The balls he threw that were intercepted, two of them were, they were tipped. And then he had one guy, he caught it, didn't catch it, fumbled it away, turned into a touchdown the other way. It was one thing after another. But one of the things that gets me is they started to shuffle their offensive line. I think they're starting to make some decisions on some guys up front that are not going to be around next year. You got to think about what happens to the roster of this offense and what they're looking at and what their options are, really, at this point. I think Brian Daboll, Sean McDermott, I think they really feel like they've got handcuffs on their offensive side of the ball. There's only so much they can do. I mean, how many throws to the flat and the tight end can you make in a game? You know, he threw it 49 times they threw the ball yesterday. That's a ton. That's way more than they can do.
About twice as many.
And the ball came out very quick. They didn't have time. They didn't want to drop back very much and have him try and wait for somebody to get open downfield. They wanted the ball out of there fast. They wanted to play with some tempo. They did that, but it was ineffective. You know, it was just ineffective.
Let's hear from you. We'll take some phone calls, read some tweets just about the Bills situation. The 41-9 loss to the Chicago Bears yesterday. What do you think? 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. We'll start on the phones with Mark in Hamburg. Hi, Mark. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. You both seem to be pretty sensible in realizing how pitiful the offense has been this year. There's three things I want to point out quick. First thing is that last play of the first half. I mean, that just exemplifies how unready Nathan Peterman is for this league. He doesn't deserve a roster spot. And after the game, McDermott's asked, you know, do you think this guy can win? And he's either just borderline delusional or he's just there's got to be an untold reason why he's willing to risk his credibility as a coach and a guy in this league and hook his anchor to a guy that anyone can see is just incapable of being in this league. And the third point I'd like
to... wait a minute, Mark. Who would you have started if you were Sean McDermott yesterday at quarterback?
Well, I'll say this, John. Okay, the options they have are limited, but who's blamed for the options that they have?
Oh, yeah, I get
Well,
you.
I mean, yeah. I get it, but who are you going to blame, for guys for getting hurt? Who's to blame for guys getting hurt?
Well, even if Josh Allen was in, you gotta have a decent backup plan. And I think Nathan Peterman never really showed he was kind of worthy in this league. But the third point I'd really...
Well, before we move on from that point, Peterman had a really good preseason. Now, it's only preseason, but 80% completion percentage in preseason, led some scoring drives. Look, you can have doubts about whether he's ready. I get that, but I'm just saying there was some evidence there. I might not even purchased all that evidence. I might not have bought in for him to start against Baltimore, at Baltimore, you know, week one. But there was an argument to be made that he was the guy to start.
But, well, he's the guy to start of the guys we had. Just because he's better than what we've had doesn't necessarily make him good as far as the league is concerned.
Mark, what was your second point?
The other point I'd like to make is in the press conferences for the better part of the year is Sean McDermott seems to say he really covets not turning the ball over and taking care of the football. And yet last year, now don't get me wrong, Tyrod was the guy who we were last in passing, but he took care of the football better than anyone in the history of the franchise, and they let him go. And then when you go and draft our rookie quarterback there, he doesn't get him any weapons to succeed, and the kid only has raw talent as an arm, so when he's injured and he doesn't have that to go on, you got to have a solid backup plan. And if you're hooking your anchor to Nathan Peterman, I mean, you're destined to fail. I think McDermott and Bean have a lot of blame here. Like, a lot of people can realize that talent level, these guys just can't cut it, and you can't expect them to sit here and throw all over the yard with the talent they got. But as far as the coaches that are coaching them up, the offensive coordinator, the plays they're calling, and then also Brandon Bean, the guy who put this talent together, they got to share a lot of this responsibility.
Yeah, do you think they've started actually building the offense, or except for, you know, Josh Allen, obviously that's a start, but do you think they actually, you know, how many assets do you think they really spent on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, here's what I'll say.
What I'm asking, Mark, I guess, is do you really think they tried to fix the offense from last year, or do you think they got in a spot where they thought, well, if we get rid of Tyrod and put a guy in and we do the stuff we did, we're going to be at least as good as we were last year, and obviously that didn't work out. But do you think they've actually even tried to fix the offense?
If they haven't, well, isn't that Brandon Bean's fault? And if they have, they failed miserably. So either way you cut it, it's he's got to hold that responsibility as not addressing that side of the ball. And you have 52 guys on the roster. So to say we're only going to look at half the team and think we can succeed by not giving our rookie quarterback a pass-first offense coordinator where all his running backs are over 30, his offensive line can't block a text message, and the guys have absolutely no receivers.
That's a good one.
And he doesn't have a veteran quarterback to coach him up in the room.
Yeah, Mark, you make good points. I will say this. The focus of the Buffalo Bills 2018 offseason was the quarterback, right? Josh Allen. Maneuvering to get him. They drafted him. They want to develop him. That development may have been a little bit sooner than they expected. I think it was because of the way Peterman played, but you make good points about not, and I kind of said this last week, Steve, you know, not paying due attention to who would be the backup quarterbacks and making a couple of moves that, you know, can clearly be questioned. But, again, make no, and as far as getting other assets on the offense, look, that's coming, right? They've got all kinds of dead cap money out there. They had all these draft picks and assets tied up to get Josh Allen. They did spend money to improve a defense that has clearly worked. They were 29th in defense last year. They're third today in defense. I know everybody's saying, why didn't they deal with the offense? Well, you can't do it all in 1 year, right? I mean,
yeah,
you cannot do it all.
I think it's also true, too. They probably believed that they could, even with the guys they had, as bad as the offensive line has played and the struggles that they've had offensively, which have been epic, they probably thought, listen, there's no way we can be as bad as we were last year with these guys, with a new young quarterback, or even Nathan Peterman, a little bit more experienced. And they thought, you know what, we could win some games like we did last year if we make our defense that much better. I mean, remember, last year they statistically weren't that good. They were 26th. If we get a top – the thought was, man, if we get our defense better, which it looks like we did, and obviously they did, we're going to win games that way. We're going to win games by running the football and just staying on the field offensively and getting some turnovers. They had no idea their offense was going to flop as badly as it has. I mean, and you can say what you want about the quarterback or whoever's playing quarterback. Let's not forget, their offense was barely above kneeling down in the passing game last year. I don't know where, you know, we're in a race to see which one's worse passing, last year's or this year's. but the problem is the turnovers. That's been the huge difference this year from last year. And the difference is in their one loss record. Their defense is way better than it was a year ago when they won 9 games. Their offense is epically bad.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us. I know you. No. I didn't see it coming.
No, and there are miscalculations. Mark's right. Miscalculations made by decision makers. You're absolutely right. I think the biggest one may have been the drop off in the run game because of what's going on up front, the offensive line. I think that might be the biggest miscalculation made as they came into the season.
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah, you're right. They made some efforts to get better. They drafted a guy, but he was in the 5th round in Wyatt Teller. They brought Russ Bodine over from the offensive line in Cincinnati, who had a couple of good years. And then when that offensive line started to go south in Cincinnati, Bodine kind of got exposed. And they thought, well, it's because the new guys around him, he's not playing so well. Now he hasn't gotten back to where he was early in his career. The two tackles, probably because of the stuff that's going on inside, haven't played as well either. So all the way around up front, it's a little bit of a mush. I mean, they haven't dominated anyway. They can't win the line of scrimmage. You hear Sean McDermott saying it every week. You know, they've got to win the line of scrimmage. Well, they haven't yet. So all that stuff up front has had a ripple effect on a young quarterbacking group and wide receivers who need a little extra time to get open and aren't being given it. And that's why you end up with a quarterback yesterday goes 31 of 49 throwing 3-yard routes all day. So it was it's turned south in a big hurry. And I think that's the one thing that it's really I got to tell you, it caught, and I guess this is the first time I've really thought about it like that. It really caught me off guard how epically bad this offense is, and I did not expect it at the beginning of the season.
Let's hope we've seen the worst of it, right? I really hope we've seen the worst of it, and that
there's some kind of rebound
coming up here.
Who knows?
We're still almost half a season. Mike on the line from Amherst. Hello, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
I've got a little different take on things, if you don't mind for a moment. The game day experience, it has deteriorated. I've been going since the late 70s to games.
In what way?
Time. And I just recently got rid of my season tickets at the end of last year. The concession areas have just gotten ridiculous. They're out of everything all the time.
No, so you have not gone to a game this year? Is that what you're telling us, Mike?
I was actually at yesterday's game with my friends.
Okay, was that your first of the year?
That was my first of the year. That's correct.
Okay, so they're running out of stuff at the concession areas?
Yes. It's the third quarter, 2 minutes in. You're going up. They're out of popcorn. They're out of pretzels. They're out of burgers. They're out of pizza. Drinks, for some reason, they couldn't serve properly. And this is the first time that's happened in the past 3 years.
Yeah, that's not good. What about everything else? Is there anything else that you didn't like? What else?
Obviously the team. As you know, Steve, back when the stadium fit more people, they had really pretty decent traffic control with the stadium. Then they made the changes. They removed the beautiful avenue we used to have with the pregame show, where you used to be able to go and you could go across the street. It's just taken away so many things for the fans, for the people who've been going.
Where are you talking about? I'm not familiar with that, Mike. Where?
What used to be when you would come walking into the stadium on Abbott Road.
Yeah.
Across the street, they used to have that avenue with the radio.
Okay. Now that radio is right over here outside the field house.
Yeah. You used to have where you would go across the street. They had all the tents set up. They had the Dunkin' booths and all those different activities to participate in.
Right.
You used to have a lot more of the bands that were out there. So a lot more like what Baltimore and Washington and Cleveland and Pittsburgh are doing with the fan interaction.
Uh-huh. Right. So you don't like the outside the stadium right before you come in, since they made the changes to the new super gates and all that stuff.
Correct. The super gates.
Gotcha.
It used to take me 5 to 10 minutes to get in. It's now taking me 40 to 50 minutes to get in.
Yeah, and that's just the opposite of what they were planning on having happen.
Correct.
Right.
And then how it translates on the field. You know, on the field, I don't blame the Bills for what happened with the offensive line. You know, things have happened that were beyond their control. I do hold them accountable for decisions like Tyrod Taylor. I supported keeping Tyrod Taylor. But when you're mixing the fan condition, what's going down, and then it looks like they're just not thinking things through in any sense right now.
Interesting.
Okay, I will say this, Mike. Yours, and we do a lot of open phones here. Yours is the first call we've received from anybody complaining about the game day experience and the issues you talk about. And
obviously,
not to discount them, but I understand you're experiencing what you're experiencing.
Yeah, and some people. Yeah, and everything's subjective. So some people, I would think, maybe I'm wrong. There's some people who like the new configuration or don't know any different and don't miss what you miss. There's probably some who have been put off by it like you. But anytime you go to, and if you're going to go try and spend your money at the stadium, they're out of the things you want to buy. That is a bummer. And plus, you know, having a team that's struggling on offense and having trouble winning games at all and even looking good doing it.
Everything stinks. And our radio show stinks.
Yeah.
Right? Because they lose, because they get smoked everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big issue. But, I'm telling you, you should, and I know you do that when you call this show, and we welcome the call, and we appreciate it, Mike, for you letting us know that. But, hey, there's people who will pick up the phone at One Bills Drive and listen and hear. And obviously there's a lot to complain about with a game like yesterday and the last couple of weeks and the first half of this season about the football end of it. But if there's anything else, there's people here at One Bills Drive that will listen to that because they're always looking to improve it and do it right.
The guy to ask for is Andy Major, who is director of fan experience here. And the number is 648-1800. Call and ask for Andy Major. Tell him what you've encountered. Andy is Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience. Exactly what you're talking about, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I spent some time in the locker room after the game. Of course, Chris Brown is doing interviews as well. Time now for a listen to what the Bills were saying after the game. Around the Locker Room, presented by Units, Upstate New York Transplant Services. Save lives, join Team Units, donate blood, visit units.org. Here we go, Around the Locker Room. Quarterback Nathan Peterman on the Buffalo turnovers.
The turnover is frustrating anytime it happens. So regardless of how it happens, the end result is a turnover. So it's frustrating. You know, obviously we know that we can't do that as an offense. We got to be better in that. Especially how our defense sets us up. They play so well. We got to be better in that area.
Head coach Sean McDermott struggles of the Buffalo offense.
First of all, we turned the ball over today. You can't turn the ball over. Can't give them field position. We did both of those. Two things we said we couldn't do, we did that today. Couldn't get the running game going early, which is an important thing in terms of establishing the line of scrimmage. So we got to do a better job there.
Sean, where is your level of frustration?
Yeah, I'm very frustrated. Very frustrated with just the fundamentals of what went on in the game in terms of turning the ball over and giving them field position. It's tough to win a game when you do that.
Wide receiver Zay Jones on offensive effort.
I don't have the exact answer for it. I know that guys are giving great effort. I don't think I see anyone who's not trying to give it their all. So that's just the most discouraging thing about this situation right now. Is like the effort's there, doing everything we possibly can, just not getting the result that we obviously want.
Wide receiver Terrell Pryor keeping confidence high.
We all got to be confident. I mean, myself, I mean, I'm not going to lose confidence. I mean, I had that. To me, I count that as a drop where the guy was on and knocks it out. I mean, I think things like that happen. You know, the guy made a great play. And, from my standpoint, I think, you know, the fire is there. You know, the competitive nature is there. I just think we just got to put it together and make the plays when they're there. And we didn't do that today. We turned it over. And, you know, and that's what happens, blow out like this. So we got to get better. And like I said, I thought Nate did a great job getting the ball out. And, you know, he had a big rush on him, you know, the whole game. So
defensive end Jerry Hughes, a couple of small plays make a big difference.
In the NFL, your margin for error is so slim. And whenever you give the offense an opportunity, they're going to take advantage of it. And that's what they did on us. They scored a couple times that we would love to get back. It just wasn't our day. You know, we always pride ourselves on getting the ball out, forcing turnovers, anything we can to kind of help our offense to play complimentary football. And it wasn't it today.
Linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, this Bills team lacks consistency.
I mean, it's frustrating. When we put ourselves in a position where we're playing from behind a lot, you know, not executing turnovers, allowing them to score touchdowns in the red zone, and it's just not winning football. I mean, we're just not playing up to a good enough standard right now, and just inconsistent as a team right now. You know, defense plays well, and then the offense, we're not doing well. I mean, it's just inconsistent. So we got to be able to play better as a team, as a unit, if we want to find ourselves in a position to win the game. And that's kind of what we're fighting for right now.
There you go. Around the Locker Room, presented by Units Upstate New York Transplant Services. Save lives. Join Team Units. Donate blood. Visit units.org. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, just getting started here at One Bills Drive with One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Decent day here in Orchard Park. It was beautiful yesterday. Just a shame the way the game played out. Taking calls, reading tweets. Been accused of being demented on Twitter so far today, Steve. We sound demented.
Yeah, about saying, hey, if the game were like tomorrow, who are you going to play? It almost have to be Peterman. Right?
I don't know. I think it had to be yesterday. I don't know who else it was.
Yesterday was
you
injury.
You can certainly question how they got here, and that is my big question.
Yeah,
how did we get here? How did we get here that Peterman had to start? But he had to start yesterday.
It was a colossal roll of the dice to go into the season with a second-year quarterback who didn't start two or three games in Peterman. No matter how he played in the preseason, it was a roll of the dice to go in with him and Josh Allen only. Now, they did, and I knew – you know, A.J. McCarron didn't want to be here. He didn't want to be third string. He wanted to play. And I think, in looking back at it, when you know your team is going to draft a quarterback number one, it's hard to get a guy to sign here as one of those veteran backup guys to come in and be a Derek Anderson, what he's going to be now. They just don't want to – they want to play. If they're going to come in – if all those old guys, those old veterans –
Josh McCown's doing it.
Right. Well, he didn't leave. He was under contract. He didn't leave. And that's his thing. He wants to keep doing it because he wants to be a coach. So he's a special guy. And
he
listen, I was
left, right. He was a free agent.
I was all for Josh McCown. Yeah, but you know, you're going to have to pay the guy a lot of money to come in and sit behind him. And I don't think they were willing to do that. Although you know, now it seems obviously they should have paid whatever it took. You know,
not necessarily for him, but for better
for somebody.
Yeah.
And it took him a long time to get Derek Anderson to say yes. In the meantime, you know, they trade A.J. McCarron, who they're getting crucified. I don't think A.J. McCarron's going to change the outcome of any of these games we played. It would have made us feel better to have a third guy on there. I don't know. Maybe, what, do you think he would have thrown the touchdown pass in Houston and maybe come out of there with a win if he doesn't throw the pick six? But I don't know if he would have been the next guy in anyway. Peterman would have been anyway because Peterman outplayed him, right? But anyway, the point of the matter is, it was a colossal roll of the dice in hindsight. Now it looks like, and I think a lot of people will say they thought this, but I didn't. Colossal roll of the dice to go in with that young of a quarterback room. Yeah. They were still looking to add some pieces. They were trying to get a guy to come in, and they finally did. And as soon as they did, somebody went down. So with Peterman, now Peterman's the last guy standing, healthy. So I don't know how this is going to change. And I think a lot of people would say, listen, as soon as Derek Anderson's healthy and Josh Allen's healthy, you know, Nathan Peterman should be out on the street. You know what I mean? That's going to be the big
sentiment. People say that. I don't know if I'd buy that.
Yeah, I don't know. Given how it's gone,
people have said it.
What happens is one more guy gets hurt, then you got to sign him right back because he knows the offense. I don't know. It's a mess at quarterback mostly because of the injuries. I mean, I think most of us would be all in with Josh Allen. So if he was still healthy, just go ahead and play him. Keep going, keep going, keep going. No matter what it looks like, he's going to get better because his arm and his abilities are going to carry him through some tough spots. I get that, but man, now that you got two guys hurt, wow. You know, you can't score points. I mean, they cannot score points.
Call here from Jeff in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hello, Jeff. Go ahead.
How you doing? Well, first of all, Steve, I see why you were always one of my favorite players, man. Before the Bills all time. I hope you get the Hall of Fame. But I think Sale is coming around, your partner there. Peterman has no business. I'd rather send Barkley there yesterday because I know what we're going to get with Peterman. If yesterday was the best game he ever played, we don't need to see anything else. We didn't need to see him yesterday.
Who would you want to play then, Jeff?
Seriously, Barkley?
Give me, yes.
Anybody? No.
He couldn't be worse. He couldn't be worse. That's why.
He has been worse. Well, yeah. He has been worse than he was yesterday. He wasn't good yesterday.
Yeah, Jeff, we've seen Peterman. Listen, Jeff, we've seen Peterman play worse than he played yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. He has been worse.
That's what I'm telling you. Yesterday was his best game, and it was not acceptable.
Well, you can't say and say he couldn't be worse. But he has been worse.
He has been worse. And also, I mean, I don't think – I mean, it would be unfair to Barkley and the rest of the guys on the team to throw him in there just because you don't want to look at Peterman out there. Let's remember this, Jeff. Wait a minute, Jeff. Remember, Peterman, they had four turnovers. Three of them were on the receivers and Kroom. I mean, the one that he did throw was, you know, late once again trying to make something happen. But and you know what? Another thing that Peterman did yesterday that everybody's crushing him for, and I would too. You got to throw the Hail Mary at the end of the first half. What are you doing? I mean, I get that. I mean, he deserves to be punished for that. But yeah, that
do it. They know his limits.
Go ahead, Jeff. What?
Pass 5 yards down the field.
What? That's right. You know, Jeff. You know why? They got no time to drop back. They got no time to let droughts develop. That ball's got to come out now. It's got to come out now.
For the play. That's why Matt Barkley with a stronger arm could have played.
Matt Barkley walked in here on Tuesday night. You think he was ready to play yesterday?
Throwing passes out in the flat? Yes. All day long.
All right. Okay. Well, then what are you gaining then?
He's gone. Let's go to Phil in North Tonawanda. Hello, Phil.
Hello, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I also want a first comment I want to make is that guy Mike talking about the outside experience at the game, he hasn't been for a while. Ever since they went to Disney parking, the tailgating has switched to private lots. So that's where all the people are. It is radio people are looking for. That's where they are. It's not the same experience. It's actually a lot better. So he's an exception to the rule.
Okay.
Call was going to be about, I think Matt Barkley should have played. Because this is one thing that I noticed from yesterday. The Chicago Bears had 190 yards of total offense. I would guess that this is the first time the Bills defense ever held somebody under 200 yards and lost by 32 points.
Sure.
Which is the only time in NFL history it's happened. And you know how that happens?
Yeah.
Because Nathan Peterman is the worst quarterback in NFL history.
Not true.
Not yesterday. Look, he was bad yesterday. But
they have a terrible offense.
They got
right?
an awful
the
offense.
The offense is awful. Yesterday's problem, part of it was, hang on just a second. Can you hang on just a second, Phil?
Yes.
Quarterback was part of yesterday's problem. Offensive line was a bigger problem yesterday. Lack of production from the wide receivers is a big problem. They can't get Shady McCoy going. On the list of issues, and they have several on the offensive side of the ball, yesterday quarterback was not at the top of the list. That's all I'm telling you. It wasn't good. He didn't play well, but it wasn't the worst thing about their offense yesterday. I firmly believe that.
John, what I want him to do, Patrick DeMarco should never run out for a pass ever again. He should block the guy. It's through the leaky offensive line. And then maybe any quarterback but Nathan Peterman can throw to somebody else. I paid for those tickets yesterday. It's the first time it hurt me. I go to every game.
Yeah, I get you. I get your pain.
Yeah, I get you, Phil. You're right. And
hey,
Phil, listen, it's guys like you that make the – and we said it earlier in the show, Phil, that the fans right now are better than the team, no question about it. They're a phenomenal fan base. And they, you know, they deserve better, and they got – and most of them, and I think Murph and I both believe it, that it's on the – it's in the building. I think that – I love the – there's a lot I love about this front office and this coaching staff. Certainly, they've made some mistakes about some things have not gone their way for sure. I mean, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, no question. But they're lining it up, and they've got this point on the horizon where they're going to run out of these massive excuses they have when they came in. They took over a club that was in a disarray financially. The roster was a mess. And they're trying to get it fixed, and it's going to take some time. But they did make a bunch of moves to get a quarterback that this franchise really needs. And we still don't know if he's going to be the guy or not. But they had every reason to believe that this offense was going to be something a little bit different than what they're getting right now. Maybe not vastly different. Maybe it wasn't going to be the San Diego Chargers or the Kansas City Chiefs or the LA Rams, but they had plenty of reason to think it was going to be better than it was a year ago.
All right, we're back with more. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio on this Monday following the Bills' 41-9 loss. Sorry, just got hung up there. 41-9 loss. I had to think. Look at the scores, Steve. The Bills have.
Wow.
The games, they're just weird scores. You don't see 41-9, 25-6, 37-5. 47-3. Those are just unusual.
22-0.
Just bad scores and unusual scores. It's really bad.
It's epic.
Hey, Steve spent the day in beautiful Seattle watching the Chargers and the Seahawks and comes away with a couple of impressions, right?
That's right. Sideline Sounds presented by Bose, the official headphones of the Buffalo Bills. I was in Seattle, which is notoriously one of the most the noisiest venues. And you know what I heard, Murph?
What?
Silence. Not just because I had my Bose noise-canceling headphones on. It was because the Chargers went in there. 12 AFC teams before them had gone in. None of them could win in Seattle against Russell Wilson. He was 12-0 against AFC opponents. The Chargers went in and lumped them up. They got off to a fast start, got them down by two scores at halftime. They were up by 9 at halftime. Phillip Rivers is playing as well. At this point of his career, he is playing as well as he has ever played quarterback.
Really?
They are really good. He gets it done. And I remember, and I've told you that I've said this on the show a number of times, Frank Reich was the quarterback coach there before he went to Philadelphia, mm-hmm. won the world championship as the quarterback coach there, and now he's a head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. When he talked about Phillip Rivers, he said he was an absolute savant about what pre-snap reads he got from the defense and his ability to discern who was rushing and who was not and get himself protected. The Chargers walked into a really difficult environment and silenced that crowd. Those are the sideline sounds I heard presented by Bose, the official headphones of the Buffalo Bills. The Chargers are for real, Murph.
Yeah.
They have one problem, and it's glaring. Their kicker missed two extra points and a field goal and almost lost that game.
Wow.
They really lumped them up. So they're going to – you can look for the waiver wire to think maybe the Chargers are going to change kickers. Caleb Sturgis might not be a Charger today or tomorrow. Oh, they just cut him. Jay Harris just told us they cut him today.
I'm afraid you're going to recommend anybody else be released. It sounds like
I better not.
From
your
mouth.
Yeah.
Let's squeeze in a call here before the top of the hour. John in Cheektowaga. Hello, John. Go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Make
sure.
It quick. the players are the players. This is what we have to work with. I mean, we just, everybody, including the coaches, have to accept it for what it is. Now, my problem is other coaches in the league will make adjustments according to the skill level of the players that they have. My question to you is it better, is the offensive coordinator, is he on the field or is he in the booth? I mean, what do most of them do? I think you can see more from being up on top than you are going to be on the sideline.
John, that's a good question. They've done it both ways. They did it upstairs early in the season. They were downstairs when Josh Allen started. And if you've watched the play selection and all the stuff they've done, I got to tell you, it's one of the times, and I've heard, and I knew this was, I knew people would say this, hey, it's the offensive coordinator. I'll tell you this. I've seen the play selection and the stuff they're doing offensively. They are trying everything they can to get somebody to do something offensively. They're trying wildcat. They're trying quick passes. They're trying play action passes. They're trying quick screens. They're trying, you know, the motion, end arounds, the quick sweeps, you know, with the guy coming across. They're trying motion shifts, personnel differences. They're shuffling their offensive line around, trying to find a combination that'll work up front. Go ahead, John.
Are they confusing their own players by doing all that?
They got to try something. They can't just go out there and line up in one tight end, two backs, and two wide receivers because they don't have the guys. I mean, they're trying everything because nothing's working. And if it's not working, they're going to try something new. And it's up to the I don't think the players are confused.
All right, well, I don't have a problem with that, but I just think he should be upstairs myself. I think he'll see more. I think they'll see where, more places where he can take advantage, and he will be on. I mean, you got guys that are 6'6" on the sidelines, and the game is so fast, it seems to me like you'd be able to analyze it better upstairs.
Yeah, and there's different reasons for that, and it's a good question. I mean, I think Daboll is a guy who likes to be upstairs. I think he's been upstairs before. Because they see the big picture. They watch so much film, and it's the All-22, and they can see it better, like it's like what they study from up top. But I think one of the reasons he came down and maybe has been down since, and I'm not sure. Is he down now, Murph?
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons he came down is because the quarterbacks he's working with have zero experience in this offense, and he needs to be there with them, and they need to have conversations face-to-face, looking at the pictures together. I think it's a communication thing between series as the reason he's been down lately, because you got a rookie quarterback, you got Nate Peterman, and you got Derek Anderson trying to get this. And Derek Anderson, he was brand new to the offense. So, and Josh, I think, was the same thing. They needed to have those conversations. So I think ideally Daboll wants to be upstairs, but because of the situation the quarterbacks are in with who's playing and how much experience they have or how the lack thereof, he's been down of late. So I agree with you, John. It's a good question, but from what I've seen on film and watching the games, they are trying everything they can possibly think of to find something that will work offensively. Personnel, schemes, thoughts, creativity, everything.
Thanks, John. Chris Brown coming up next from BuffaloBills.com, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.